Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we're here with
Mark Mangold from Live Nation.
And we're here talking about the Fillmore and maybe a couple other places as part of the big DC music piece we're working on. Thanks so much for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
To start off, I mean, the Fillmore gets a bunch of big names, but give me a sense of the history a little bit here. When did it actually come to town?
2011 it opened, September 2011, and it feels like we've been around for a long time, which is great. I mean, the venue's already kind of established a bunch of history with a lot of different acts, but it's relatively new, and it's amazing because as the music scenes continue to grow, new venues keep popping up, but we've only been here 7 years, so.
Yeah, it's right, and just so people know, it's right across from like the AFI Silver and over
Correct.
Down there by
yep.
the downtown Silver Spring. So almost as all that sort of started coming up, you guys were there, and it all kind of worked together in tandem.
I think probably not coincidentally, it probably all started coming together at the same time.
Awesome. Now, are there other Fillmores in other towns?
There are. There's several in other places. The closest one nearby would be Philadelphia.
Right.
But there's Fillmores, obviously the original ones out west.
Right,
But there's other Fillmores all over the country, sure.
Yeah, but the reason I asked, I guess, is, I mean, city wineries is a similar way, but different. Like, there's several city wineries in different cities, and they kind of seem like they split the acts and kind of they'll book an act and they'll kind of hit them all. Do you guys benefit from that at all, having the national network, or you guys kind of do your own thing?
Sure. Live Nation obviously has great relationships with a lot of different artists and agents and managers and people. And there are Live Nation tours that come through and play, but you know, it for every one that we've locked in a bunch, there's 10 or 15 others that are booked locally with us.
Okay, let's go into that. Give us a sense of some of the people that have played there since 2011.
Man, it's been a little bit of everything. It's really diverse. I mean, we've had everybody from Chance the Rapper to Sam Hunt to Maren Morris to Travis Scott, Anderson .Paak, Migos, you know, jazz acts like Snarky Puppy. Now, Horns played there, Macklemore, Kesha, Meghan Trainor, Travis Scott, Migos, Cole Swindell. I mean, it's really kind of all over the... Mary J. Blige opened it, so...
How do you leave her out?
Of course.
We're talking... I mean, just by listening to that list, guys, I mean, we're talking the up-and-coming... and not even up-and-coming as in, like, undiscovered, but, like, the right on the peak of they're superstars now, but you're getting them new. This not over-the-hill gangs here. This is, like, artists.
We've had the Ariana Grandes and the 5 Seconds of Summers when they're on their way up and, you know, leaving our venue and literally... in some cases, 6 months later, playing amphitheaters and arenas and things like that, which is neat. I mean, it's neat for us, you know, at the venue and everyone on our staff to see, you know, them just quickly turn around and just be huge. You know?
But explain sort of what makes it different than one of the big arena shows too. Like you're catching them slightly right before that. It's that huge. But I mean, a lot of people you name could fill an arena. But what makes it feel more special? Like, what's your guys? Would you say like your little niche in town?
We're 2,000 cap. It's standing. It's GA. It's a venue with high energy. A lot the artists. You know. There's just the energy they get coming back from a place that small. It really energizes them. And that's, I think, the biggest thing. I mean, our production team, I mean, everybody that has come in has told you they have the greatest staff in the world. But our staff at the Fillmore truly is, I believe, set the standard in the country. They really do. And that, I think, above all else, is what separates us.
Describe the experience, and we're radio, so let's paint a visual picture with our words here. If our listeners have never been to the Fillmore, they're going down, Colesville Road, they walk in. Describe, what they see and how that all unfolds.
Well, first, it's easy to get to. I mean, there's free parking after, I think, 5 o'clock at night. I mean, it's easy to get to. It's easy to park. You walk in. Our staff, you know, we do a great job with security and making sure everybody's safe. You come in. But just the energy. I mean, it's 1,000 people downstairs. We also renovated the upstairs so that no matter where you are upstairs, there's risers. So, if you're in the back of the balcony, you're still able to see. You're elevated. You're able to see the stage from anywhere upstairs, which is truly different from most of the other venues of its size. There's really not a bad spot in the house. But the energy downstairs, the energy that the artists get and get, even if it's an improvisational thing where it's, you know, Snarky Puppy or whether it's Travis Scott and he's out in the crowd or it's a metal band, it's, you know, whomever, just the energy that comes back to them because it's true fans. It's people that are super excited to be there. They're seeing these people up close and personal in the space that they're probably not going to get to see them again in a lot of cases.
And just sort of extrapolate it out to sort of the surrounding community too. What's kind of the cool thing about coming and seeing a show, let's say over in Silver Spring and that whole atmosphere versus, I don't know, downtown DC or something like that.
There's a lot of great restaurants around the block. I mean, you can go anywhere nearby. I mean, there's a metro stop right there. I mean, there's a lot of AFIs right there. You can come make a day out of it if you want to come in. You mentioned that earlier. I'm very disappointed. As a film major, I'm disappointed I don't get to spend more time at the AFI.
I'm obsessed with the AFI, man. And they show all these classics. And, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
remember seeing like Lawrence of Arabia in the original, you know,
right?
Print. Yeah, there. It was great.
Yeah, I mean, there's a ton of stuff. I mean, you could come in and make a whole day of it. You know, I mean, I have two young children. I mean, when I bring my daughter up to see whomever, I brought her up, you know, to see Kesha last year. There's a Dave and Buster's across the street. I mean, there's things to do. There's really nice hotels right around. But you can make a whole day of it. Of course, we're, you know, a metro stop or a short Uber ride away from DC as well. So, I mean, it's a destination place. You come and you can spend a whole day there for sure.
Awesome. Now, in the interest of, I know Live Nation, you guys book, you know, acts for several different venues in town. In the interest of knocking several out while we're in here, let's pivot to Warner Theater now. You guys get some cool people there too. Who's played there over the years?
Oh, God, who hasn't played there?
I know. It's
I mean, the Warner's kind of the crown jewel, I mean, of theaters. It's right up there with any theater in the country as far as history and prestige. I mean, everybody from Frank Sinatra to the Rolling Stones. I mean, most notably, Prince, rest in peace, played one of his last shows at the Warner. Did two shows there.
And that's why you got to go. No one knew it was going to be one of his last ones.
No.
That's why you got to go.
Yeah, gave us about a week's notice, and Stevie Wonder sat in. It was just an amazing night. I mean, still get goosebumps talking about it. But it's also home to a ton of comedy. Dave Chappelle is going to be doing, he did 19 shows there last year, you know, pretty much anybody who, it's a who's who of comedy that comes through that venue. But we also do things, I mean, Neil deGrasse Tyson's been there. We just had, this week we have John Butler coming up. Tonight we have Tasha Cobbs, who's an amazing gospel act, who's just, you know, really on fire right now. Everybody should check her out, you know, going forward. I guess this will probably air after that, but...
And what's sort of the idea, the vibe of going and watching in a historic space like Warner Theater compared to, you know, maybe a new place that was just built?
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful theater. You can feel the history in there. I mean, it's been updated, obviously. It doesn't feel like you're sitting, you know, in an old antiquated space, but it still has that feel, that warmth to it that's really genuine, that just drips from it. I mean, it's a really great venue. Really beautiful. And it's smaller. That's the thing with the Warner. A lot of people think it's the size of the Beacon or one of the bigger theaters, but it's not. It only holds about 1,800 people. So it's a super small, again, like, I mean, smaller than the Fillmore in terms of capacity. So, I mean, it really is something that it's a unique experience for sure.
What I like when I go down there, I don't even know if they still do it, but I like the little, it's almost like the little Hollywood Walk of Fame outside.
Yeah.
You know, you can
yeah.
see the little signatures. Absolutely. And the little stars with the people that have played there.
Yep.
I've been meaning to, just side note, I thought that would be like a cool separate piece at some point, like the history of that. I think they should still do that. You know, Chappelle could get a star. We can keep adding to it.
I would love to do that, actually. It's funny you said that. Whenever I walk past it, I'm like, hey, man, some of these other people have just played here recently. You know, should put here. But
you know, I mean, you probably don't know anything about it. That's probably more the actual Warner Theater folks than Live Nation.
Yeah, that's below my pay grade.
I say we get it going again and have that all around there.
I love it, man. Lead the campaign.
Let's do
get it.
Get
it going, yeah.
All right, maybe in 2019 that'll be a separate piece.
There you go.
Because you forget DC gets everybody. I mean, you think LA and New York, but DC, everyone comes through here.
Yeah, I mean, we just had an improv. Whose Line Is It Anyway? And one of the comedians in the show actually had played there 35 years prior in The King and I.
Oh wow!
And I mean, there's just such a deep history, both in terms of theatrical stage plays, but also music. I mean,
who was it? Colin Mochrie, Ryan Stiles, Wayne Brady,
Jeff Davis.
Jeff Davis. Was in The King and I there. That's funny.
When he was young. I think it was when he was 8 years old.
Well, it's cool. I mean, it's you get the sort of historic theater vibe that like National Theater right around the corner, but it also gets the music acts and the comedy acts, which National really doesn't. So.
Absolutely. And you know, like, we have, I mean, a tremendous calendar. I mean, the Tedeschi Trucks Band will be doing 4 shows again there. We've had Widespread Panic, and we just had Bob Weir last Monday.
Our anchors, Debbie Feinstein and Bruce Allen, are the biggest Tedeschi Truck fans you'll ever
see. Is
that
right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm sure
they've
we'll
gone
see
there
them
several
the
times to see them.
Yeah, it's great. It's fun. I mean, and they love it there. I mean, it's just, again, it's just so intimate. I mean, they could play a bigger space, but why? I mean, it's just the feel there, the energy that comes from it.
How does that work from a booking standpoint, like from a Live Nation standpoint? like peel back the curtain for some from regular folks, or yeah, hell, even me, I don't know how the things are actually booked.
I don't even know how.
But like when an artist, well, give me your educated guess. When an artist, how do you decide, like, okay, we're gonna put them in the Fillmore versus, oh, this is good for Warner Theater, you know?
It's a personal preference, and sometimes it comes down to what the project is. Like, we just had Tori Kelly at the Warner. Normally on an album, she would be doing a much bigger space, maybe, you know, maybe even an arena or something. But I mean, right. She's a huge pop star, but she's doing a gospel album, which, you know, she wanted to play something smaller and more intimate. So, I mean, they usually the artists have a handle on what exactly they're looking for. And the Warner and the Fillmore, even though they're about the same size, are drastically different spaces. It just depends on what they're anticipating their performance to be and what kind of, a lot of times, how they want the crowd to respond too.
Right. Awesome. Well, yeah, I appreciate you coming in. I just wanted to, and just let's sort of wrap it up by just sort of a larger idea of kind of what we were talking about on the way in here of, you know, I don't think it makes sense to pit different venues against each other. I'm a rising tide raises all boats guy. So, I mean, what say you on that front of, because we've seen an influx of a ton of new venues, and then we got the Anthem and, you know, all these new places.
Yeah, it's exciting. I mean, there's a lot of new venues. And I think the one thing, like, I mean, you said you used the rising tide. Everybody's doing well, it seems, you know, and everybody's flourishing, and it's in all of our best interest to have as many music fans coming around. And if we introduce a new music fan at the Fillmore who ends up going to 9:30, or if 9:30 introduces somebody who ends up going, you know, to coming out to see the Warner, I mean, we all benefit from that. And it seems like everybody's doing really well. You have a whole different style and host of choices. I think we've all been pretty smart not to double up similar concepts. And, It's really, I mean, it's, the town is complete, and all the passion and energy in these smaller venues. I mean, the Milk Boy just opened up in College Park, Union Stage down at the Wharf, Songbird, you know, we're really close with a lot of those guys. There's a whole, all these smaller venues too, the passion you see coming from them and from those fans is awesome too. And those are the people that are coming out to see us, you know, next time through.
Awesome. Well, I think that's just a good way to not only look at music venues in town, but at life. It's a good way to look at everything.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's every business is competitive, right? But I mean, I think ultimately the fans just want to see their favorite acts, and they want to see them in great venues, and all the venues we've talked about are great venues.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming in, talking a little Warner Theater and Fillmore. It'll be a nice little addition to the piece. I couldn't have done it without those two venues, right? I mean, come on, they're two of the biggest in town.
Of course not.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.